Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wild Ol', and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wild Ol' and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? All four of us back together again, but not in person. The three of us, Waddle, Yurko, and me inside the First Midwest Bank studio. And Carmen continues to work remotely. But this week,
still dirty.
He elects to join us. What's up, thanks, Carmen? Thank you.
Hey, boys. Yeah, I couldn't miss 2 weeks in a row. I mean, last week it was kind of like all over the place. And yeah, we just, but I didn't want to miss
What was all over the place? What has been going on here?
I stopped coming in, like, what was it? I think a week ago Tuesday. There was a bunch of uncertainty about when I would be back because my son tested positive for COVID.
First of all, is he okay? Everything good?
Of course.
Good?
Okay. Yes. I mean, that's the most important thing. How are his symptoms, Carm?
No,
he's asymptomatic.
Fine.
He's fine.
I mean, so going back to a week ago Sunday is when at the end of the day, he was a little lethargic. You know, he was kind of lying on the couch and. He was just coming after a birthday party.
Right? Well, he was exhausted from a birthday party.
Saturday, we were at Avery Zetterman's birthday party. All the boys were there. They ran around all day Saturday.
Sylvie pulled his hammy.
Yeah. Sylvie pulled a hammy.
Still not 100% either. Not close.
No. You kidding? At our age, that thing takes forever to come back from, Sylvie.
2025. Good luck.
So Saturday we had that. And then I think we did something Saturday night. I can't remember. Sunday we went fishing with a few buddies. He had some friends over here for a little while. He played baseball. We went because it was like that beautiful 60-degree Sunday. We went and we played baseball for a little while. So I just thought he was kind of like exhausted from the weekend. But he was lying there. He said he didn't feel great. I took his temperature. He did have a fever. So he stayed home from school on Monday, and they have to get tested to go back. Sure enough, he tested positive. Then my daughter did, God, I want to say like 2 days later. So we knew I was going to be home for a little while. So, yeah, it is. It's been like kind of quarantine central over here ever since. I'll
but
be back
you,
in work
you and
next
the wife
Wednesday.
Are clean and fine? No,
nope,
no problem.
We all have
good.
It. My wife and I are fully vaccinated, and you do the math. Somehow we all have it.
Oh, so you got it. You did get it.
Everybody's got it, or at least at some point has had it. Yes. Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. Fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
Go figure. But
how about you? Did you have any symptoms?
No. Yeah, just
well, that's,
you know,
that, that's the go figure. But, that's why, right? I mean, that's the vaccine doing its job, even though you got it.
I guess, yeah. My wife felt it a little bit more than I did. She like Saturday into Sunday of this past weekend, she felt like she had a cold for sure. You know, she was just kind of laid around, was a little. You know, we had nothing else to do anyway. Really, she did not feel great.
You guys getting on each other's nerves yet?
No, not really. We've made, like, my son's back at school because his 10 days is clear. So he's actually back. My daughter will be back. They don't have school next week. Our district does a whole week off for Thanksgiving. You believe that?
You guys like that? You guys
like it or do you not like that, Carm?
No, the kids love it. It's fine. Like, they do parent-teacher conferences on 2 days, and then they figure what's the point of having them back Wednesday. So they're off the whole week. So
I have not been to a parent-teacher conference probably in 15 years.
Yeah, I've only
been in my kids' high school twice.
Are you afraid of the parent-teacher conference?
No, I'm just
been in your kids' high school twice?
Twice. I've only been in inside the facility for a school-related thing, I think twice, maybe three times.
But how many times to the high school soccer field?
Oh, hundreds.
A million.
Yeah. Yeah. But, never gone into, I don't know, my wife always took care of the parent-teacher conference
stuff.
Nice. Yeah,
I was trying to remember, when do those end? Did we do those in high school?
Yeah, we do them in high school now. We did them before the COVID. You'd go in there.
It's open house.
You just go through a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go
to
the classroom.
You sit in each of their classrooms for 10 minutes.
Yeah. You move around at the end. They got some punch.
See, I don't remember in high school us doing parent-teacher conferences.
My mom and dad both worked. They never came to any conference whatsoever unless the nun called in grade school.
Which was a lot.
My dad and said, hey, your son son's being a little bit of a peckerhead.
How often? How often?
Being a bit of a peckerhead.
Up until sixth grade, probably once a month, I was a problematic problem.
I am shocked.
And then I got the crap beat out of me by a nun, and, you know, I was kind of, my dad said, I'm not going to hit you no more. He said, figure it out. You can be a dumbass or you can be smart. You figure it out.
I like it.
Gave me the reverse psychology, and then I turned it around and started, became a 4.0 student.
There you go.
3.7,
you can be a dumbass or you can figure it out. I
That's
love
it.
That.
What did the nun beat you with? Like a stick?
See, the pointer with the rubber end on it. The pointer.
Oof.
Oh, cracking it across
my
back.
We had a priest, Father Putka, who had this gigantic ring, like a... From I think he went to St.
Like
Ed's.
He had won the World Series.
No, he didn't give you the ring, did he?
Oh, he had like a class ring from
no,
like,
but did he? And he didn't.
Oh yeah, he'd spin it around and give you the. He'd give you the we are the Super Bowl champions. You know, he spun that Patriots Super Bowl ring around and would whack you in the back of your head.
Yeah, that's enough. That'll do it.
Yeah, you wouldn't fuck around any longer in class. I mean, you get one giant fucking knot on the top of your head, and you were dialed.
Do you
in
know,
for the rest
like,
of the
if
semester.
That would happen
then
today,
go home and tell your mom and dad that the priest had to hit you. Now you're getting another beating at home because the priest had to correct you.
It was
what are you doing? Stressing
the parents weren't mad at the priest.
No.
The parents were mad at me.
No, they're mad at you.
Yes.
What did you do to make the pastor mad?
Yeah, he'd look at you and say you should have gotten two of those.
Yeah.
Two of those shots.
It's 5 to 10 years now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But that happens.
I tell you what, you fall right in line, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's for
damn
sure.
You straighten up in your chair, and you start looking straight ahead, and you do whatever's asked of you.
Yeah, Sister Helen Marie used to pummel me a little. Sister Sponza was too old. She couldn't. Sister Clarice was too short. Sister Desolata, nobody respected. She was my eighth grade teacher.
What was her name?
Sister Desolata. Desolata. I was her muscle in that room.
You were?
I was the muscle. I took care of her. Nobody disrespected her in there.
Wow.
If somebody did, they had a problem.
You guys are older
than me. What kind of agreement did you have?
Well, so we'd play cards. She'd get a cut. She'd get 2.5% of every pot. So she'd get the cut. I'd take it up there. I'd put it up there for the candles or for Enchanted Forest when she'd take the patrol.
Did it go to her or the church?
Went to her. And then I'm sure she funneled it to the church.
You used to wear a little extra aftershave when you were in her class?
Oh, yeah. Coco Chanel. No, I didn't wear it. So she couldn't beat anybody up. But Sister Helen Marie was the one that could. She was an ass kicker. And Sister Redemption. Little stout and powerful. Looked like Adam Delvitt with a habit on. I mean, honest to God.
Oh, my God.
She yelled at me the one time, called me a fat little piggy because I wouldn't eat my sister's rice pudding with chocolate milk in there. She called me up from the fifth grade. Watch, your brother will eat it. I said, I don't want to eat that. She goes, you eat it, you fat little piggy.
Can you imagine getting away with that stuff these days in a school? I mean, like, it's crazy.
Oh, she was classic. Then we had lay teachers, too.
Car, we paid what? For it back then. It was tuition. It was Catholic school.
I was going to say, did you guys, when I was in parochial school, and I stopped going to parochial school when we moved to Naperville. I went to public school, so I was done by fifth grade. But, like, our teachers were, like, they, like, my parents, when they were little, like, they were all nuns. But, like, when we were in parochial school, we had teachers.
Lay
there were
teachers
nuns that taught religion.
We had both.
That taught religion. But did you guys have both?
I went to public grade school, but I went to a Catholic high school. They were Marianists.
Okay.
So we had several classes with some of the, they were called brothers. There were some priests, but they were brothers. They weren't actual priests. And then we did have some teachers, but it was kind of a mix.
Yeah.
So we had lay teachers, too. Mrs. Shapansky was a lay teacher. Mrs. Lewis, Miss Del Polo, originally. She got married on my birthday, August 18th.
The way you remember this. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mr. Miller was a teacher in that class. They taught my sister's class. Miss Sullivan, a little Irish girl.
Do you have any little hot for teacher going on when you were a kid, Johnny?
I think with Miss Del Polo.
Yeah. She had a blue Camaro that she drove up in. And she is 6 foot if she was an inch.
Oh, really?
Blue Camaro. Tall, blonde Dutch girl from South Holland. Oh,
tall,
yeah.
Blonde Dutch girl.
Oh, boy.
South Holland, like Holland overseas
Illinois,
or Holland,
South
Illinois?
Holland, Illinois.
Right,
more than one time, old Yurko was motivated, you know?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? And then she ends up getting married and crushing my soul. I couldn't believe
it. How old were you, like 14?
She was. No, I was in sixth grade.
Have you seen her since?
I was 11, yeah.
Have you reconnected?
Yeah, I've talked to her. I've said hello to her and that type of thing.
Well, I mean, what's her status right now?
I think she's in the process of maybe going through a...
She's all tatted up. She works at 216. What is it, the place you hang out?
In the process of what?
She was. She's in the process of being divorced.
Well, now's your chance.
Yeah, that's your chance to capitalize.
Would you, I mean, what you would now, right? Oh, just to, even no matter how she looks.
It doesn't make a difference, kid.
It's up here.
I'm taking the tugboat to Tuna Town. Yeah.
Did he just say that?
That would definitely happen. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. And Miss Sullivan, she was Irish, obviously. I don't want to mention her first name. She's been married, but we knew we weren't going to see her around St. Patty's Day. Yeah. She was going out, and she's going to celebrate. She's going to have herself a week. So we knew we were going to get a substitute teacher that way. Oh, we're losing Miss Sullivan next, guys. Yeah.
A whole week?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow, when you're Irish.
Oof. Hey, you know how to celebrate. The Irish know how to celebrate,
I
don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone to St. Patrick's Day. You know what it's like.
I did, yes.
You ever gone to the Southside Irish Parade?
I've not gone there.
Oh, boy, I tell you. That's festivities.
Yeah.
You're talking about festivities.
Boy, St. Patty's Day here in Chicago is historic for just lewd and horrible behavior, isn't it?
It was. Remember they shut it down the one year?
There's too many people shitting in the Southside Irish Parade.
Southside Irish Parade. They shut down the Southside Irish Parade one year. They brought it back.
They brought it back.
You can't stop the Irish.
But they want to buy the Bears.
Guys, not even the potato famine stopped the Irish. You got to remember that.
Can you believe the city proposing? I mean, look, it's one kind
of.
Did you hear him with us?
I heard it. Connor Dennis stayed with you guys.
It's such a cockamamie idea. I mean, it's so, like, this is. All that you could be doing and you can be worrying about to do your civic duty, you want to
which is honorable.
It is honorable. Yes. Stop worrying about buying the Bears. Yes. Don't be ridiculous. Yes. You have no money. What world is this guy living in? The city of Chicago buys the Chicago Bears?
With all the other fucking problems the city has right now?
It's bankrupt.
You know what we need to spend time on today on November 17th?
Let's
throw out
here.
The possibility of us buying the Bears.
It's so stupid.
Well, and the point I made is he was. We asked him where they were going to get the money, and he referenced a scheme. I don't think he meant it in that manner, but he used the bad word.
He referenced the scheme.
But he did. But like, we will get investors. If you're someone with a shit ton of money that is investing in an NFL franchise, are you really going to buy a franchise that will stay on the lakefront with 60,000 seats? Or are you investing with the group that's taking the team to Arlington Heights?
I'm going with the group that's going to Arlington Heights.
Of course you are.
Chicago won't support a second professional football
franchise. You don't think so? That was the other thing that people kept calling about. If they would go to Arlington Heights, if they would expand now.
Why? You go to Rosemont Horizon for concerts and stuff. Why wouldn't they go another 10 miles?
No. I'm fine with traveling. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying if they could, would another owner look, Chicago's a football-hungry town.
Somebody needs to send a memo to the Alderman Cardenas and to Lori Lightfoot and tell him that when the Chicago Bears, the entity that is the Bears, move, it doesn't make a rat's ass of a difference if they've got a problem with them using the word Chicago.
Yeah. Well,
they can move to Arlington Heights, and they can be the Chicago Bears. You know what the city of Chicago can do about it?
Nothing.
Not one damn thing. They can puff their chests out. They can do whatever they want. They can't do a damn thing. Other thing? Here's your other problem and dilemma. This is what you really got to think about if you're in the city of Chicago. Lori Lightfoot wants to put something out there where each of the, with the Wintrust Arena, U.S. Comiscular, guaranteed rate, United Center, the Wrigley Field, they're going to have a casino within five blocks of where they're at. The city doesn't even have their own casino that they're approved for.
Right.
They haven't got it. They haven't built it. They haven't gotten nothing. And yet she wants to give this away to the professional franchises for what? A one-time fee of $50,000, an annual fee of $25,000.
You know what? It sounds like the whole parking meter thing.
Yeah, we were educating Waddle on the parking meter thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They sold it. I guess it was for $1 billion. Someone said it was for $1 billion for 100 years.
Right.
Do you know how much the city could make in parking meters if they would have kept it?
Yeah.
And the other concept or the other conversation about another team coming to town, think about this. You're going to spend X amount of money on a franchise and you're going to put it in that stadium? You were going to bring a second franchise to the city of Chicago, isn't that person or that entity going to be looking to build something like the Bears are going to build in Arlington Heights?
Yes.
Like, nobody is coming here to plant themselves at Soldier Field.
Multiple-use facility, 365 days a year.
Yes. What kind of an owner today, what kind of a billionaire, powerful owner would want to lease the stadium from the city.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense.
They get to keep the parking. They get the concession. But you know what? I get 60,000 tickets.
What are it's you ridiculous. Looking at,
Johnny? Do you think the league would even allow another team to come here? Honestly?
That's what we were wondering. Like, maybe if they moved to Arlington Heights, they would. I mean, if it's good for the league.
Only 30 miles away.
But I don't know what the rule is. Do you know what the rule is? You keep saying that, but we don't know what the rule is.
I don't know what the rule is, but I find it very unlikely that maybe if they moved somewhere further away. But
in Indianapolis, Detroit, Green Bay would have something to say about a franchise moving to Chicago, a second one. They would raise an objection flag.
Why?
Because those are teams that are disenfranchised with Detroit and Southwest Southwest Michigan that could opt to go and become a fan of another team that's in Chicago. You got a team from Indianapolis that might lose people from Northwest Indiana who they want to win over from Chicago if they move to Arlington Heights. They won't be able to win over because another team will be placed. They would have a right to object to the fact that they put a second team in the city of Chicago.
By the way, I got my favorite tweet about the entire interview I retweeted yesterday. The guy included the sound. His name's Andrew. Shout out to Andrew. He says, the nice Chicago alderman on Waddle and Sylvie today pitching the city to buy the Bears reminded me of a third grader presenting at a science fair. You would never make fun of the kid, but you know he's not getting you to Mars.
That's funny.
Isn't, true. Isn't that awesome? I mean,
that
like,
is pretty good.
We felt like.
I loved if his it passion, was a caller, but there was, yeah, we would have hung up on him.
Yeah, we would have hung up on him midway through the call.
We would have been making fun of him.
We still made. No we still
we did kind of, yeah. Even when he was on with us.
He said to us, Carm, he said to us, he goes, the Bears aren't worth $4 billion. And in the back, you could hear Waddle and me say, oh, yes, they are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean they're not worth $4
billion? He's like, no, we'll buy it for like $800 million.
Oh, jeez. No, I'm telling you.
He wanted to tweak the rules, too, of the NFL. Like, he wanted to change the way the NFL does business.
Right.
He didn't believe that the team was worth that much money. He didn't know what he was talking about.
As soon as we hung up,
my first... He's a politician. Of course they don't know what they're talking about.
My first comment was, I am convinced now more than ever the deal in Arlington Heights will be done, and it will be built, and it's what the Bears will call home.
Yes.
No question. There's no more negotiating. Not that there was any in the last several weeks. There's no more negotiating with the city. And they shouldn't.
No, of they course shouldn't. Not. It's long overdue.
Yes.
Man. We all know it.
Listen, if you could build a giant stadium and do the same shit somewhere on the lakefront that you could do in Arlington Heights and have the same access and the same, you know, amenities and all that stuff, fine. I don't care that it's in Arlington Heights. You just can't continue to do what you're doing over there on the lakefront. I'm sorry.
You can't have a situation either where you build it in Soldier Field 5 or 7 years later, you're like, oh, boy, it's too small.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, there's not a lot of space for a lot of these modern amenities.
Right.
And like, I know they fixed it, Carm, and Guaranteed Rate is awesome now.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't – when you rebuild it, you can't say a few years later, oh, boy, we made the upper deck too steep. We got to cut off several rows.
Yeah.
And when they do this in Arlington Heights, they've got to fucking get it right.
I would hope.
They've got to look, make no, just like Daniel Burnham said, make no small plans.
That's right. Thank
don't,
you.
Don't cut corners. Don't fucking try to say, well, this is good enough if we do this compared to what we have at Soldier Field. You don't want to regret in 10 or 20 years. You want to make sure you've got a home there for a half century to a century, and you say, this thing is a gold mine.
Yeah.
Well, they don't own Soldier Field, so anything they did there, like, you can't. If you're going to own your own entity, you're right. You better make sure that you don't skimp in any way, shape, or form. Because this is yours. You own it.
If you're going to go the whole way with this, they're going to need to spend $2.5 billion on that stadium.
Oh, yeah. Easily. We said.
That's it. Easily.
We brought up on the show yesterday, Crypto.com is giving the naming rights. They bought the naming rights of Staples Center. They're changing it on Christmas Day, I believe.
Yep.
They paid Carm $700 million over 12 years.
Wow.
So, okay. So,
was it 12 or 20?
20. 20 years, I meant. 20. 20. Thank you. So over 20 years, they're getting $700 million. So think about it. Like, if you spend $3 billion or $4 billion and you net naming rights down the road for the Chicago Bears Stadium in that ballpark, I mean, that's already, what, a fifth of your cost?
Yeah. Oh, no,
already?
No,
and then you're making all the different money for 365 days a year, like Yurko was saying?
Right. Then you've got a steady stream of revenue virtually all year, so, you know, 12 months a year. Certainly, you have a steady stream of revenue.
I would venture to say the franchise is valued at $4.4 billion in the latest Forbes. If you build the stadium right and you do it the way that everyone thinks it should be done, 10 years from now, that's a $10 billion entity.
Yep.
It's $10 billion. You will double the value of this thing in 10 years, no question, with the ownership of your stadium, and you do it the right way. I mean, it's the math is very simple for these NFL franchises.
By the way, Carm, I was telling Waddle on the show yesterday about you guys got in a little tiff, you and Yurko, during crosstalk. I mean, I don't know, nothing
we
major.
Did?
Over the holiday parody song competition,
right.
Which is opening Monday, right. ESPNParody.com to submit yours. And if you want to make them R or NC-17 rated, I don't know about X rated, but if you want to make them NC-17, we'll play some here.
Yes.
You guys want to do one again, but you guys had some questions.
Concerns.
I was wondering, is that a Christmas... You know, like Frozen's not a Christmas movie.
Well, give background for those who didn't hear the conversation.
Yurko had a funny idea, and he said he wanted to do, I want a new GM to I Want to Build a Snowman for the Bears and Ryan Pace. I want a new GM. Right, Yurko? How does it go?
Yeah, I want another GM. One that's something and smart.
Right. And it was funny.
It's not a Christmas theme.
What's that?
But that's not a Christmas theme.
That's what I said. I said.
It was released. First of all, it was released during the Thanksgiving weekend and ran all the way through Christmas and made billions of dollars.
But the theme of the movie isn't a Christmas movie. It's got to be a Christmas theme,
or anything holiday.
It's not a movie.
Holiday.
What does the movie matter? The movie doesn't matter. Is it about the Christmas season? I want to build a snowman. It's during the Christmas season.
Well, I can build a snowman in February.
That's what I told him. And this is why I disagree more than anything.
Or April here.
You can build a snowman in March. I mean, that's
March
not
Madness.
Christmas.
It's a March Madness song. You know, shockingly, I didn't really give a shit. I was like, Winter Wonderland.
So here we go. Frosty the Snowman.
But that was a Christmas movie. It was about the Christmas season.
First of all, it's not a Christmas movie at all.
Isn't Frosty the Snowman all about Christmas?
No, it's a winter. It's about the winter.
I think there's a Christmas theme in it.
And it's about it getting hot. It's about it getting hot. No, the theme about it is you got a mad guy that's mean-spirited, and he doesn't like the snowman in his magic hat. Where do you see Christmas at all in Frosty the Snowman?
I see him
his
wearing...
His hat, he got mistletoe on it.
It's
hat,
about his stuff.
His hat's got mistletoe. He's got a giant scarf that is
ready?
It's a signal of the winter.
Read it, Carm. Frosty the Snowman is a 1969 American animated Christmas television special. I mean, like, what are you talking about?
According to what you guys are saying, again, that's got more to do when it was released. The Frozen was released during the Christmas season. Okay, I qualify. What you guys are telling me,
here,
I qualify.
On Christmas Eve, Karen and her friends build a snowman after school.
On Christmas Eve.
After several suggestions of names, Karen decides to name him Frosty. I mean, what?
I loved that. When that first came, I wasn't alive when it first came out. The first time I saw that, the first time I saw Rudolph, and then you would wait for that one time a year that CBS or whoever aired them would air them. It was...
Sylvie, hold on. Ready? By nightfall, Frosty, Karen, and Hocus struggle through the forest where Hocus convinces wild animals to build a campfire. Fearing that the fire will not be enough, Frosty decides to look for fucking Santa Claus. They assume can save Karen and transport him to the North Pole.
Hey, kid, Frosty's not a Christmas movie.
What the fuck?
No, it's a winter movie about a snowman.
Just punch. Punch.
But look, you guys can't win the fucking prize anyway.
Of course not.
Do the song.
We'll do it anyway.
Doesn't make a difference.
By the way,
I'm not doing the song at all.
Oh, you're not? No. Don't be a child.
Now you guys can go blow it out your ass.
Don't be a child.
All three of you can go blow it out your ass independently.
Fucking baby.
I'll wait to find myself the inspiration for a real fucking Christmas song then. Fuck you. And you over in the suburbs fucking via COVID-itis. Fuck yourself, too.
Hey, Johnny, why don't you sing a Daniel Boone song for the contest?
Daniel Boone was a man. He was a big man. He had eyes like an eagle. And
You guys kill
so
me.
So great.
I love it.
Did you guys see Merkin got himself a haircut for tonight's event?
I know. That's why.
Oh,
listen,
it's a book.
On, guys,
it's a book
guys,
signing haircut.
Hold on. I go, dude, you gotta. Well, my wife told me I had to get a haircut. That's yeah, common sense didn't tell you at some point that you should go ahead and take that crumbly, disheveled look that you pull off every day here. Common sense didn't tell you yourself that, hey, I'm having a book party. I need to go ahead and get myself a haircut. Get these eyebrows taken down. I mean, he's the fucking modern-day fucking Andy Rooney around here.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, at some point, common sense tells you it's going to be my event. I'm the fucking star.
He's our Andy Rooney.
I need to be less disheveled than I usually am. That fucking Zoom sweater you wear here, that needs to go into fucking garbage because the moths have got the better of that. Okay?
Hey,
a new sweater tonight. Some corduroys, whatever. Just make sure they're fresh. That's
like
all I ask.
If we sign Merk up for Trunk Club, do you think he would take the clothes?
He would benefit.
You'd put him in
I'm
a trunk.
I'm
trunk
fine. Club. I'm fine. All right.
But you say you're fine.
Put him in the elephant trunk club. That's where he belongs.
You know, but it's okay to look nice and wear nice clothes.
I don't wear nice clothes.
Wow.
Like I said,
I mean, look at what is Yurko wearing today?
He's got a freaking Packers up.
Yurko's got his Green Bay Packer.
Yurko usually comes in a sweatshirt.
Quarter zip.
Look at these two. Hey,
two
we played in the NFL.
That's right.
Nothing says we played in the NFL more than two fucking old guys.
In case you didn't know it.
You're layering now with alumni shirts.
By the way, can I tell you, Tommy, your stuff is better than our stuff.
Yes, it is.
The stuff I'm getting from Green Bay and from Jacksonville and from Cleveland, Miami doesn't even consider me anything.
It's garbage.
It's garbage compared to the stuff you guys get in Chicago here. I'm telling you.
And guess what? Guess how much it costs?
How much?
It's free.
Nothing.
So the Bears actually do something
right?
Other
than the concussions and all of the different
tears. Yeah, my body.
Yeah. The Bears actually do something better than other teams? Do you guys actually have better gear?
Well, our gear comes from, I think one of the guys started a company.
From the fake stock.
And has created the ugliest golf shirts in the history of man.
There's nothing worse than an itchy, uncomfortable, ugly golf shirt.
Yeah. Mm. And they've cornered the market up there in Green Bay, so.
Waddle basically does every day at this point wear like a beard.
Every day.
NFL
he's like Fred
alumni.
Flintstone.
Yeah. And every day.
Johnny's got a double bubble, too.
Oh, you look.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I doubled up, too, Johnny. Yurko's got a Green Bay Packer golf shirt on.
Yeah, that's right.
And then over it, he's got the Green Bay Packer alumni pullover. Waddle's got.
Quarter zip.
Waddle's got the hooded sweatshirt that says alum. That's the new one. Underneath his jacket, his zip up, his full zip up.
Yeah.
Bears alumni. Look at me. I played.
Yeah.
I'm an old guy.
I brag about it too.
Played football.
It's not a brag. It's a comfortable piece of clothing.
Listen,
is what it
we
is.
We all played Little League baseball. You can wear your Little League shit.
You
sure,
brag
I don't
about
care.
It.
Skokie Club. We want it all, Yerk.
We should make Little League alumni clothes that we wear in every day.
You know, what we've been discussing with some friends is doing a little, like, out of all the reunions you do throughout life, like high school reunion, this and that, we wanted to do a Little League reunion where we, all the kids, because, like, Yurko can name the nuns, I can name the players, and I still keep in touch with a lot of the kids I grew up with playing Skokie Indians Little League, and we want to play like a softball game or some lob league game. It
Do
would be so much fun.
Do you promise it'll just be fun and nobody's going to get red-assed about the outcome?
I was the king of being the red-ass.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Can you promise that you'll just
Are
have
you gonna
fun?
You going to yell at your mom again? Bring her out in the
Bring
stands?
Bring her out.
And
yeah.
Start
mom,
screaming
you sit
at
there.
Your mom
Shut
for
up,
no
mom.
Reason. Because you were a poor sport.
I was terrible.
You were a
Yurko,
terrible sport.
I was Zimbrano. It was
my favorite story of all time.
Look, I think about it. I get embarrassed. It's fucking stupid. I was 11 years old with the biggest mouth in Skokie. And I couldn't fight.
We drilled you in Calumet City.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I knew how to get out of fights, you know?
No, we'd have drilled you with a ball. Baseball.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you'd have gotten
hit. We'd have drilled with the baseball.
You'd have gotten hit.
I hit kids, too, on purpose.
I know you did.
You know, like,
oh,
like
I know
a,
you did.
It was,
That's
I was
why
doing
you can
it
never,
all.
You can never lecture a pitcher at all about hitting
Well,
people.
Now I can because I've learned my lesson.
No.
I was an 11-year-old punk.
Yeah, when you're 11, Yurko, come on.
He was impetuous.
It's not like I was 25. Okay. Like, we had Liam Hendrickson, who still said that he would love to hit guys.
Sure.
You know, he's still all about when things
He's
get,
a red ass. I
he's
love
a, he's a red ass, yeah.
He was great, great working with you guys.
So, wait, back to Merkin. So, when we're recording this, and this will be up this afternoon, tonight is Merkin's book party. And you can buy the book, and I highly recommend you buying this for the holiday season, for yourself, stocking stuffers. Mm. It's Behind the Glass, the book.com.
Correct.
So are you, how excited are you? Did you shave your balls for tonight's party?
Yeah, I'm not.
Listen, you know what? Just,
are you going to be naked from the waist down?
I'm not going to get Amazon forest Merton, down there. You know that.
Are you
going to
be naked at the event tonight?
Can we talk about the book, okay? I mean, that's the important stuff, right, Carm?
Come on.
You said the book, right?
Pull
the book.
Yeah, I said real the book. Tight.
Well, you got a haircut. Did you manscape for tonight?
She said to me, you want your eyebrows trimmed. I said, absolutely. So that was,
it's my fifth
haircut. I usually do four.
Of your life?
No,
you
of the year.
You can't get that servicing somewhere. I mean,
this guy, he only gets four haircuts.
The manscaping's got to be done by yourself. There's nobody.
Calm,
you're not going to the barbershop and saying, hey, how about a little wax down there and take care of them? It's not going to work.
Carm, every year, don't you set goals for yourself, right? And when New Year's comes around, one of my main goals, and how many times do you achieve those goals?
Not every year.
Okay. Well, every year.
Why is that one of the goals?
Just because I know I can achieve it. If I can get four haircuts.
So what you're saying is the key to achieving goals is to set the bar as low as possible.
Yeah, it's not much of a goal.
Thinking about taking a shower, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
shit this afternoon. I think I'm going to achieve it. I really do.
Yeah, honest. That'd be like saying I'm going to set a goal to wash my hands after I take a crap. I mean, what is that? That's not
so.
A goal.
So the book, Carm, you'll really enjoy the book because it's got some great stories in there, and some fails too. But if you want to know what goes on behind the scenes, behind the glass wise,
Gotcha.
Hence the
name. I'll be there tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Did you give some of the bad stories too? Yes. Some of the fights.
Yes.
Any fights that we've had?
No. Like fights, like you and me fights? Or
me, you, Waddle. We've had some sit-downs in this studio throughout the years.
I didn't really want to go into that.
To feel good.
Well, I mentioned Jerry Krause all the times. He was not great to me.
Mean-spirited guy?
He was
one of the...
What do you mean not good to you? Why was Jerry Krause...
He was bad to a lot of people.
He was a mean-spirited guy.
Jerry was a jerk.
It's funny because a guy like Jerry Reinsdorf will say he's one of the sweetest guys around, but he wasn't that way to people he didn't know.
I don't think he trusted anyone, right? I
mean, nobody. Yeah.
You cannot trust someone. It's like Carm told the story recently about Charlie Weiss. Like, what a fucking asshole to us. Okay? He may not be a fucking asshole in general, and he's given a lot of good money.
He's raised a lot of money for good causes. A lot
of good stuff. But to us, he was a fucking asshole.
You guys did a weekly radio show.
Yes. Yeah. And we would be with him for 15 minutes. It doesn't take much to just be nice. You know, you could not trust anyone as much as you want, but doesn't mean you have to treat them like an asshole.
It takes more energy, in my humble opinion, to be a dick than it does to be a decent person.
Who do you guys have on today at 3 o'clock?
Charles Barkley.
He's probably one of the biggest celebrities.
Nicest guy on the
planet. Sports, anything, right? Yeah. Most recognizable people when you go out. And what is his mantra to you guys always is it's tougher to be an asshole than to be a nice guy, right?
True.
Yeah, so there you have it.
So the book, Behind the Glass, thebook.com.
Yeah, and I got to admit, I'm actually more than a little nervous. I'm very nervous about tonight.
Are you giving a speech?
I'll say something at some point, and not a planned speech, but I assume once people congregate, it's because I've never done this before, and usually because being a producer.
You'd be with friends.
Being a producer, the spotlight is never on me, right? I'm always behind the scenes. So tonight it's about me. It's not even at my kid's B'nai Mitzvah, it's about them. And then I, little about
you
me.
You did
but
speak up there. You and Beth, wonderful.
Yeah,
I think
thank
you guys
you.
Were wonderful that
thank
day.
You. But tonight, it's basically the focus is on me. So that's why I'm
You'll
a little
be
nervous.
Fine.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, be amongst friends.
I like me for me going to be playing in the background?
No.
I like me for me.
No, I like that
if you
song.
Get, yeah. If you get nervous at all, just think of the good kid naked.
Yeah.
And
it'll
bring a smile to you.
Think about my scrotum all strapped up and nailed to a board, ready for a fresh shaving.
Just think about that, okay?
Straight
people. Oh, good, Carm.
That'll
we'll
make you laugh. Scrotum strapped to a board.
Merck, will you admit that because of everything you just said, that you shaved your butt? No. Will you admit that you're happy in a weird way that Cap's not going to be there tonight?
Oh, God.
Because it's about you, and he would probably make it about himself and sell some of his books.
He would set up a kiosk right
there. He'd tell people he's got his books in the trunk.
I got 20,000 of these in a storage facility.
He goes, hey, since you guys are in the book buying mood, look what I have in my trunk. Come out and buy my book.
Isn't this a book fair?
He'd be like Kramer with Mr. Peterman.
Exactly.
There's enough to make us both fat and jiggly. Cap has never been to any of my events. He didn't come to Bnei Mitzvah. He was out of town for that. He's not at this event either. So
throw more events, please. Yeah. Please.
Hey, Merck, what do you got on the books for next weekend?
What do you mean?
Nothing.
No.
Never mind. All right. Well, hey, congratulations again.
Thank you, Sylvie.
And we can't wait to see you tonight. If you listen to this before Thursday night, you got the I Love Me For Me song on there?
No,
is that what
you're
own? What are you looking at? What are you pulling up?
Jackhammer.
He's grabbing Frosty.
I'm looking
at
some pile driving going on.
I'm looking for Frosty.
He got porn on his phone.
I do not have porn on my
phone. On there?
So if you listen to this before Thursday night, it's tonight at Claim Company in Northbrook. 6:30 to 8:30.
It's moved, by the way. It's on Skokie Boulevard now. It's no longer in Northbrook Court.
Where's
right.
it at?
It's right off. Get
I
off
was
of
going
Dun-
to Northbrook Court.
No, get off of Dundee, okay? And right by, it's right by, you know, that new Mariano's there?
You know where it is.
Yeah,
near where Morton's is.
I don't even live up there. I know where it is.
Yeah, near Barnaby's, right?
Yeah. It's right by, the Mortons.
South of Barnaby's.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
North of Barnaby's.
North of Barnaby's. Yeah, north of Barnaby's. It's north. Yeah, it's north of Barnaby's.
South of Charlie Beinlich's, north of Barnaby's.
Right. Yes, gotcha.
Yes. All right, Merck, congrats.
Boys.
Carm, get well.
I'm good. Thanks, boys.
Can't wait to see you.
I'll be back next week.
All right. And Yurko, thank you. You had some one-liners today.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
It's don't forget, it's Carmen and Yurko, 10 to noon each day. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6. Tell your friends about Crosstalk Unhinged. And Carmen, you do the honors.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?